There's one piece of information that all of the gospel accounts of the resurrection always begin with. And they always tell you that it's the first day of the week when these events happened. In the Jewish reckoning, the Sabbath, the Saturday, was the culmination of the week. The day when the Lord Himself rested, setting this example of rest. And the first day of the week then is the day that we call the Lord's Day, the day that He has made, the Sunday. The day that as a Christian people we gather together to worship the Lord. Because today is this new day. Later in the Gospel today we're told that this is the third day. We're no longer living on Friday. We're no longer living in a world that is marked by death, by sin, suffering, because this is the new day. This is the third day. So brothers and sisters, welcome to this new day. Welcome to the day when everything changes. The day when everything that we've been caught up in the past shall no longer mark our lives, shall no longer be the defining sign of who we are as a people, individuals, families, societies, because this is the third day. We're no longer bound up in lives that have no meaning and purpose, because this is the first day of a new week. This is the first day of a new life. This is the first day when we allow the grace of God to claim us for His own. No longer marked by death and sin and suffering, but marked and claimed by grace. But you say, Father, I heard the news this morning. Father, I look at websites, I watch TV, I see newspapers. I know that the world is still marked by sin, by death, by tragedy, by destruction. How can you have the gall to stand before us and claim that that's no longer the mark or the characteristic of our world? Surely that's precisely the way that we still continue to live. And yes, that is unfortunately so often the case. But so often our lives continue to be marked, not by resurrection, not by the gift of new life, but by all of our failure to open ourselves to this possibility, to the gift of new life. I think the gospel that Luke prepares for us today begins to challenge why some of that might be the case. When this group of women went to the tomb on that first morning, barely dawn, just the first glimpse of light beginning to break through on the eastern horizon, as they make their way, dejected, lost, confused, crying, no doubt, going simply to the tomb, this whole group of them, so that they might have that chance of actually moving that massive stone away from the entrance to the tomb, to go and honor the body of their beloved friend, to go and add more spices to the mix, to again just spend time with the one that had become their friend as well as their Messiah. They had no other thoughts, no other expectation that when they got to that tomb, the tomb that they had already been to 2 days before on the Friday, they had no sense that He was going to be resurrected. That wasn't part of their mindset or their hope. They simply went to honor the body of Jesus. And then to see that the stone had already been rolled away. Not to let Jesus out, but to let the women and all the apostles to go in to the tomb. Jesus doesn't need a stone to be rolled away to be freed from the power of death. But we need the stone to be rolled away so that we can journey with the women and the apostles to go to that place to see for ourselves what is there. And the women go in and see the clothes lying there. Now, normally when grave robbers come and steal from a tomb, the thing that they're most interested in are the things that are placed there with the body and the expensive cloths themselves. You don't steal the body itself. The body is worthless and useless and dirty and horrible, particularly a body that has just been executed through crucifixion. Yuck! No one wants that body. What do they steal? They steal the clothes. So if the body is gone, but the clothes are still there, they're not going to go, ah, grave robbers have been. They go, oh my gosh, this is something weird. And then these two strangers, dressed in these dazzling clothes, appear before them and call them to remember. Remember the words that Jesus spoke to you. Remember the scriptures that he shared with you. Remember the constant teaching of the community until this day. Remember all the work that God had done with our ancestors. Remember the power of God that is at work even now in your lives. And these women, like so many women across the centuries, were able to see the signs that were there in front of their eyes, and they believed. And they ran back to the upper room, ran back to be with the disciples, ran back to share the story of all that they had seen, all that they had heard, all that they had become to believe. But these silly men, these silly apostles, who are there too slow to believe, unable to remember, and they just think that all of this talk is mere foolishness. At least Peter gets up and goes to see for himself. He goes to the tomb. He sees the events exactly as the women had told him about. But does Peter believe? Not yet. At this stage, we're told that Peter is amazed by what he saw. But brothers and sisters, to be amazed is never enough. The crowds were amazed when Jesus taught with authority. The crowds were amazed when he healed the sick. The crowds were amazed when he fed them from mere scraps of food. What the women did was they remembered and they believed. Just to be amazed is not enough. If you're here today because you have a curiosity, that's good. That's okay. If you're here because the Catholic Church continues to exist despite all of our scandals, despite all of our sinfulness, despite all that we have stuffed up and destroyed in human lives, then that's good. But it's not enough. Be like the women today, to see and to believe. And I will say that even believing is perhaps not enough. I no longer believe in God. I no longer believe in Jesus because I've met him and I know him myself. So I don't believe in God anymore because I know him. I know his love. I know his mercy. I know his forgiveness. And that has changed everything. If you do not yet believe, if you do not yet know the power of God at work in your lives, then go along that journey. Go to the tomb. See with your own eyes what it is that the Lord has prepared for you. Remember the words of the Scripture. Remember the teachings of the church. Remember all that Jesus has done already in your life. And see where that will take you. See what direction that will direct you upon. See if that will open your heart to believe him. And one day perhaps to know him.